If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Okay, one more hour. Let's take as many calls as we can and talk about everything. The only thing that I had in my notes that I didn't speak on yet is Abdul Carter. I think people are just running with this, and it sucks. Like, this is the thing about the internet. People see one or two things on the internet. Now I'm hearing all this stuff about Abdul Carter is insane. He's disrespectful. How dare he? Let me just jump in here. I haven't been able to weigh in. Now, I laughed at the thought that on draft night, he spoke with Micah Parsons and said, we got to have a conversation. No, there is no conversation about the number 56. He needed to have a conversation with Lawrence Taylor. Some Giants fans online told me to shut up when I said there's no way Lawrence Taylor gives him that number. You know what they said to me? Oh, he's hurting for money. You know, he sold some of his selling some of your physical memorabilia for money has nothing to do with giving away. Oh, it could be bought. How much is Abdul Carter going to buy 56? It's priceless. So Lawrence Taylor told Abdul Carter, get another number. I don't care if it's 00, which is maybe a good idea. I think, didn't Paris Campbell wear 0? Who's wearing 0 now? I got to look at the roster of the numbers. But he said, I don't care. Who's wearing 0 now for the Giants?
Burns wears 0.
Oh, that's right. So 0 is not even available. Hey, it's tough. It is what it is. But follow me here. Lawrence Taylor said, you know, find another number, make it famous. Okay. And Abdul Carter said, worst thing he could say was no. My stance doesn't change. LT is the GOAT. Nothing but respect. This is just going to make me work even harder. I love it. Like, okay, he's going to work to earn LT's respect. I'm sure they're going to run into each other at some point. Can't get 56. Well, then Phil Simms, who is on this station a lot, who has been in here a lot, who, you know, shout out to Phil. I've worked with Phil. I think I told y'all the story. I was the MVP of Phil's athletic club football camp when I was 12, way back in the day. Can't even make that type of stuff up. I remember meeting Phil. We did a WFAN Dick Sporting Goods type of thing, and I got to tell him that in person. And like, part of me winning was to meet you. I looked way different when I was 12 versus now. But anyway, Phil Simms was on a podcast, and he kind of joked about it. He said, like, well, you know, if he's going to take 11, can he make it a little better? He's self-deprecating. But his family stepped in. He said, I haven't asked my sons or asked, you know, whatever, his wife. Or his family stepped in and outvoted him and said no. Right? Because that's his family name. He made that number, like that number 11. No, you can't get the double sticks either that you wore at Penn State, Abdul Carter, but that's fine. It doesn't hurt to ask, right? He said, Abdul Carter goes on his Twitter, and I like that he's active on Twitter. He says, damn, at this point, I'm going to be out there with just my last name on my jersey, no number. JK, JK, it's all love. Just want to play football. Now, it made me think of Malik Nabers, because Malik Nabers wore 9 during the preseason. And he wore 8 when he was at LSU. Obviously, Daniel Jones had 8 last year. Now Javon Holland has 8. Like, all these players want the single-digit lower numbers. Those are just the swaggy numbers. But there's precedent for Abdul Carter, who's drafted in the following draft in the first round after Malik Nabers, asking for retired numbers because they unretired a number from Malik Nabers. They literally gave Malik Nabers a number that had been retired for years. So we're acting like this guy is so ridiculous and arrogant, and what type of player is he going to be? A great player. Have you watched this kid play? He's the odds-on favorite to be defensive player of the year. He could be dynamic for the Giants this year. What number he's going to wear, it doesn't matter. He'll pick a number, and he'll make it. And you know what? They're going to sell jerseys. 888-808-1019. He's going to be good. He's from Philly. Maybe also, like, him being an Eagles fan, he didn't grow. He doesn't have the built-in respect of Phil Simms and Lawrence Taylor. He's not even old enough to have even seen either one of them kind of play. So, I don't know. I feel like people have run with narratives on his character and what type of player he is. Hell, the guy drafted two picks in front of him, Cam Ward, is wearing number one. He got the blessing of Warren Moon. Obviously, Warren Moon played for the franchise when they were the Houston Oilers. But Warren Moon gave him permission. That number is retired in that franchise. Warren Moon said, I don't care. Yeah. Number one overall quarterback, go be great. This is the number you've always wanted. Go be great, man. So there's what I'm saying is it's not so ridiculous as people are making it seem. Numbers have been unretired, and guys have granted permission for active players to wear their numbers. There's precedent inside the Giants organization just from last year. And in this NFL draft, a legendary player allowed a kid to come into the league that hasn't done anything yet. And he said, yeah, you can wear my number. No problem. No problem. 888-808-1019. We have talked about the Knicks, so we have some Knicks calls coming up. And obviously, I started talking about the Yankees. This Mets game, it's a good game. Holding here. Sixth inning, just getting started. It's 4-4. Let's get back to the phones and continue the conversation around the Yanks and around the New York Knicks. Lou is in Astoria on the Fan next. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Keith. Thank you for taking the call. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Listen, quickly on the Knicks, if the Mikal Bridges and Towns, they're not getting involved in the offensive game, and our best player, Brunson, doesn't disagree with the ball to them. I mean, I remember when Bridges was with your Nets, man, he didn't miss. He was great, okay? So that's the only way we can beat the Celtics anyway, on our Yankees, okay? Jason Dominguez, all he knows all his life to play center field. Let me tell you what happened today, and I want to talk about the Soto almost hit a home run. And
he Jason just hit Dominguez, another one to the warning track right now live if you're watching the Met game.
Let me tell you something. Playing left field and center field, I'm going to clarify this. It's two different positions. When you play center field, you play back, and if you got speed, you can get back to the wall. Most of the balls hit straight ahead. When you play left field, it's like a shortstop playing third base. You know, the ball is hit not only on faster, but on an angle, which even curves. It's two different positions. You cannot blame Jason Dominguez, okay? It's about two different positions.
Sure, we can. Right, everybody now, did. The broadcast did. He broke open to the left, and then he went back to his right, and the ball was over his head. If he just went back to his right and got back to the wall, he might have been there.
It's center field, straight ahead. You go back to the wall. You can always come forward with it, okay? It's two different positions now, Keith, okay?
Yeah, but it's May the 4th. He's been out there, and he's made some plays. We've seen him make that play going back to the wall.
You know what? He's making progress. But that's his natural position. You saw him play when he came up a couple of years ago, and he played outstanding center field.
He's been working on this for months. Let's just say the last 3 months, February, April.
He's the future. Why is it Bellinger sometimes play left field when he's not playing? Why can he play? I mean, Grisham, which is doing a hell of a job, he's not part of our future. Take care, Keith. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Thanks for the call, Lou. Nobody's jumping all over Jason Dominguez. I want the guy to play. I want that. But, like, that's a ball that was up there in the air long enough. The play could have been made. A lot of us thought that. It would have been a tough play to make. But, like, I think it's his footwork. If he did not, like I said, if he did not open up to the left and then turn, he got twisted around. His glasses fell off. The ball went off the wall. I just think that's a play that he could have made running and put his glove up and caught in the air. I can go back and check the catch probability, but either way, it's that's small fries. It was just one of those stupid little things in this game where it's like, you know, here we go, right? We had forgotten about Dominguez's struggles in left field from spring training, and then that reared its ugly head. And I guess you can take up for him left field to center field, of course, is different, but I don't know. I'll go look up the catch probability. And when I was listening, like, Jeff Nelson and Michael K were pretty much in agreement that, like, yeah, like that ball could have and should have been caught. John is in Masbeth on the fan. What's up, John?
Dave, what's good, man? First off, the page you're talking about, the Willard Dong, if you go to the game's StatCast page, it would show you how many ballparks it would have been a homer.
So the at-bat app?
No, if you go to just go to Google, type in MLB StatCast, and go to the game's StatCast page. I can go send you a link on Twitter, and it would show you how many ballparks it would have been a home run. The first Soto shot would have been a home run in 13 parks, and the one that just happened would have been a home run in 7, and both of them would not have been a homer in Yankee Stadium. So Keith Hernandez can go suck it. But to my point, which I wanted to call about, how would you feel, you know, like you said, we're kind of running on empty soon. Feels like the same players have been carrying the team. You know, Rice, Goldschmidt. We kind of need some other players to step up, like Bellinger and Wells, which hopefully they do in the month of May. But this dude, Will Warren, man, like I was kind of hopeful on him to start the season. Now I've kind of seen enough. And I kind of want to set him back down, but how would you feel about maybe giving Ryan Yarbrough a couple starts? He did pretty well.
Bullpen game, he just got the spot start for Clark Schmidt. Maybe they can do the bullpen game thing. They need options,
maybe
though.
Maybe they can go stretch him out.
And this kid, Will Warren,
more, you know?
Let's not kill his confidence completely. Like, let him go back to the lab. Let him go back to work. Let him go down and work on his control and his location, and
exactly.
Get better.
Because we need some new people to step up, you know, and the Will Warren's, you know, hitting a little strut. Send him back down, rebuild his confidence, give Ryan Yarbrough a shot. Maybe Ryan Yarbrough will be a little flame for a couple starts to hold this down a little bit more until Luis Gill comes back, you know. But, you know, it's just we need everybody to step up at certain times, you know, and –
too many guys hurt. That's all it is, John. Thanks for the call. Right now, there are too many guys missing now. Now it is caught up to you completely. Like, you don't have Gerrit Cole. You don't have Luis Gil. You don't have Giancarlo Stanton. Now you don't have Jazz Chisholm. Now you don't have Anthony Volpe. Like, it's caught up to you. Let's get Jonathan Loaisiga back this month. And I just know that they can't keep going this way. You know, in my chat, they're like, oh, trade deadline. Like, the trade deadline is August. The trade deadline is the last day of July at 6 p.m. We just got into May. We're having these conversations. So you can't go through May, June, July. And I can't find it. You know, I can't find the, you know, it was the Taylor Walls 99.3 exit velocity. And maybe I need to give Dominguez a little bit more credit. The ball was hit hard, 30-degree launch angle. I can't find the catch probability on the catch. But it, during the broadcast, it didn't look good. And it seemed like most people were in agreement. Like, hey, like, you would have given yourself a better shot if you got back to the wall, if you took a better route. So Dominguez is still struggling a little bit with his footwork and running down the ball and seeing the ball in left field. But, like, how can I excuse that when he's been working on it February, March, April? And I know he doesn't play every day, so that kind of messes it up too. But these are the issues you have when Trent Grisham emerges and Bellinger struggles, like, this kid you thought was going to pretty much play left field every day and then Trent Grisham would be the defensive replacement? Mm-mm. Grisham is hitting, and Grisham is a plus defender. So Dominguez, he's just going to miss time. And then, you know, now we have the conundrum as well with him, whether he's a switch hitter, righty, lefty. Like, he's got too many question marks in his game, but he's a young guy that they want involved. He's going to give you some good moments, but you just got to deal with the moments like today in a loss where that ball goes over his head and we're making Taylor Walls look like a freaking all-star, and you guys know it's like they're not like that. They're not that good. We made the Rays look really good. They do come to play in the Bronx all the time, and they take the series. Matt from Rockville Center on the fan in New York. What's up?
Hi, Keith. I just came back from the Yankee game, and I was just thinking, like, the Yankees were down 7-3, bases loaded, no one out, and Escarra came up. Why wouldn't Boone pinch hit for Wells? I thought it was insane.
Yeah, Matt, that's been the question. That's been really the most people's gripe today. When you have Ben Rice, when you have Austin Wells, and they said they liked the matchup with Ascara, and they really put it on Jorbit Vivas, right? And when they were, you know, going to get him into the game, it's just it's water under the bridge now. But I think all of us were watching the game like, when are you going to Ben Rice? And then Wells comes in, so most people are like, why wasn't that the spot? And it sucks because the result is he grounds into a double play, and it was like a swinging bunt. So.
And I thought that their middle infield today was, like, horrific. Like, they could have brought Volpe in. I was right behind the dugout, and I saw Volpe, was like, getting ready. But, like, I don't know what Boone was doing there.
I think, you know what? I just think he's got too many moving parts, and in the moment, they got. Like, Volpe, he wants to rest today, but it's just the way, it's a chess game. The way that the game played out, if they needed Volpe, I thought Volpe was available. Then they said they were going to stay away from him. The game broadcast showed us Volpe was available, but, you know, Volpe shouldn't have been in the game Saturday. He said he heard something pop. The delay was minutes long, and then they let him stay in the game, and then, you know, ball will find you. So, like, all of these things are emotion, and yeah, when you have Oswald Peraza and Pablo Reyes as your middle infield, those guys don't play together every day. And there, Pablo Reyes was playing third base, and Peraza wasn't. Like, Volpe is the shortstop, so it's just, you know, it's a lot of moving parts and a lot of decisions to be made, and it didn't work out. They did not put the pieces of the puzzle together today. They struggled.
But that's what Boone does, like, every time. Like, Boone is not a good manager. I don't know why they would resign him.
Matt Boone is probably the only manager that you can really. How old are you, bro? You've only seen Boone's era. You were probably a little young guy when Girardi was out there saying, you know, it's not what you want.
I mean, like, Girardi was.
Thanks for the call, Matt. 888-808-1019. Boone doesn't get credit for the good lineups he's put together. Boone doesn't get credit for the good decisions that he's made. It's just a day like today. You know, Aaron Boone knows, hey, they're out. They're out to get me today. And he can give his explanation. If you didn't hear it, we'll play it when we come back from the break. We have a Celtics fan on hold. I said that they live among us. I knew I would trigger a Celtics fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but... Scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What a day. We got the legendary Steve Summers in the building. Make sure you check out his podcast. Me here, you there, wherever you download your podcast. I'm sure he's going to talk about the Rangers and the Mets and the Knicks are still playing. So I just got the powwow with Steve. Always a pleasure when he's in the building and I can shake his hand and just, you know, give him some love. And he gives it right back. So gracious. I was just, you know, I was saying to Steve, I was just like, a lot has changed since my first show. And I mean, I remember my first show, and Gordon Damer is coming up after me. This will be his first show on The Fan tonight. I said, I'll be sure to pump him up. So stick with us, stay with us through the night as we watch the Mets. The Mets are down 5-4 in the six here, end of the six here. And then, you know, there's hoops on. And I know we're not fans of, you know, the team's plan, but you kind of want to keep an eye on, you know, what the Pacers and Cavaliers series looks like. Like, I completely was sleeping on the Pacers. They're about to take this first game, it looks like, in Cleveland. And then we've got Game 7, Warriors, Rockets tonight. And then, you know, all the conversation around our New York sports team. So, you know, again, I remember my first show. I thought I was terrible. I thought I was one and done. I thought I was one and done. I remember hitting up Spike asking for a mulligan. I was like, that was terrible. I just overthought it so much. And it's nerve-wracking, man. It takes a lot to develop your style and also gain confidence. And like, you can't be good at this if you're not confident. And you also can't be good at this if you don't have your own style. Steve Summers has got his own style. Stay tuned. You'll get a little bit of Gordon Damer's personal style, and I'm sure he'll be a pro. He's got the voice. He's got the chops, the knowledge. I'm interested in hearing his first show tonight. So he'll be on 9 p.m. to 1. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan, taking your calls on the Yankees and the Mets. And, you know, I said with this Knicks series, it's a series. And, I mean, if the Pacers are going into Cleveland – and taking this series where people thought that Cleveland's the best team, Cleveland's the number one seed, this Cleveland team, they can't be. Hey, it's the playoffs. Experience plays. The Pacers got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, and they got better. Well, let's see what happens with this first game up at the Fake Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. I don't expect the Knicks to win, but we'll know a lot by how they compete. And like I said, their fans are going to be into it. And then when we get back to the Garden, don't be surprised. There's some Boston fans among us. They're going to be in the building as well. Let's go to Robert in Manhattan on The Fan. Hello, Robert.
Yeah. Hey, Kai. Hey, by the way, what is you know what the score of the Pacers Cleveland game is? Because I can't find it.
120, 112 Pacers with 24 seconds left.
Hey, maybe they'll do us a favor and knock Cleveland out. That would be nice. Now, let me put it this way. Look, I'm a tried and true Celtics fan for decades and decades, okay? Listen, I got to say this. Boston has to come out tomorrow, and they got to come out, put the pedal to the metal, don't take any prisoners, win the first two games in Boston, and do that convincingly so that the Knicks will know that they've met their match, and then some. Let me point something out. To Boston, to us, the Knicks are a mere annoyance. We've got bigger fish to fry. If we're going to go up against Cleveland and OKC, it's going to be very, very, very tough. So let's dispatch the Knicks as quickly as possible. We aren't Detroit, and I got to say this, I'm not a conspiracy person, but if you don't think that the NBA was relieved and a half to have Detroit knocked out and not face Boston.
Of course. It was a cute little series to hype up because Cade Cunningham is an emerging star. Thanks for the call, Robert. But I said from the jump, and I even went back to how, like, the NBA is, it's a movie playing out. It's a script, and there's drama. TNT, more drama. They're on TNT. Like, they definitely played and leaned into Detroit versus everybody and the bad boys, but it was never really real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion, I'm like, every time I kept saying, you have the better coach, you have the better players, you have more experience. They're going to win the series. So they did, and they did it in six like I predicted. I don't know if we took predictions on WFA, and we should have. You know, we used to do predictions every week on the Jets and Giants game. I know I called Knicks in six out, but as soon as we knew that was the matchup, I was like, Knicks in six. And that was just giving Detroit the benefit of the doubt, giving them some respect. I'm like, they're not going to get the gentleman sweep. They're not going to get swept. I think they'll get two games. But you just heard Robert with the Celtics. The Celtics want to make quick work of the Knicks. If I had to put a number on it, I would say Celtics in five. I think the Knicks get one game, but ultimately it is just a different level of competition. And honestly, there are some good things that we saw from the Knicks as far as toughness and resilience, but there are also some bad things that we saw from the Knicks. And Joe Mazzulla and his crew, they are watching that film, they're studying that film, and they're going to try and exploit some of those flaws. It's not a good matchup. There's a reason why the Celtics beat the Knicks every time. And I know the Knicks weren't healthy every time, but there were different iterations of the Celtics every game. They beat them without Jaylen Brown. They beat them without Drew Holiday. They beat them without Kristaps Porzingis. They beat them convincingly, I think, three out of the four times. Okay, I did say I wanted to play Aaron Boone's response. One of the first things I said on the Fan tonight was, like, I know, it's going to be a Boone night. I accept the response. I might not agree with it. I didn't agree with it in the game. Even now, I needed a response, and that's what the manager does. The media is there to ask the questions. Let's play Aaron Boone's response on why he didn't pinch hit Austin Wells for J.C. Ascara there or Ben Rice in that situation.
I'm choosing between Ascara and Vivas there, and just going to take the guy that's been here and more experience. So I knew I had one shot with Rice there. Then once the double play happened, that kind of shut that down a little bit. But then we got he was the tying run again there with Cabby. So no, not at that point with no outs. I was going to use him for Vivas.
So he leaned on Yorbit Vivas, but Yorbit Vivas should have been in the game. And good for Yorbit Vivas coming up clutch like he did. He also leaned on the fact that, like, and I guess, I don't know, you can't predict these things, but, like, Ascar is a good hitter. They like the matchup. He said he's more experienced. He just ended up grounding into a double play. So 888-808-1019. Yeah, Robbie just walked in. The lights, I'm sitting in here in the dark. The lights have gone off. You know, it's like 8:30 comes and nobody's. Thanks. I'm on the live stream. They're like, yo, what happened? Like, the lights just cut off in here. I guess there's a timer to shut them off. I don't know, conserve energy at 8:30.
No, but they should be like on a motion detector.
I'm still as water. Let's go to Jack in Rockaway, Queens on the Fan. What's up, Jack?
How you doing, Keith? Calling them to touch base about the Yankees. If you don't mind a little Shador Sanders comment. We're blessed to see, as a Yankee fan, to have Aaron Judge. I mean, this is the guy does interviews better than Jeter. This is the same as Jeter. There's no controversy, no nightlife with Jeter. The guy produces that. Like, this, we're watching Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, in his prime. Like, and you, I understand you lost Soto. It happens, but you can't just go in there and not have a 25 home run guy beside him, a 20 home run guy beside him. This line, at some point, the guy's going to be walked every single time. You can't put Jason Dominguez. Where is this guy hit? Where, beside getting the $6 million when he was a kid, where has he hit? What level of minor league ball, spring training ball, major league ball? And you can have one only lineup, but third base, second base. This is a waste of complete waste of,
sure,
of Judge. They have to get a 30-40 home run guy.
I said it earlier. Judge has put together a month to start the season that we've never seen. He literally is breaking baseball. He did something that we've never seen to start this season as far as his total bases, his on-base streak, his hitting streak. Yeah. We can't waste this season. If this is the year that Judge really goes MVP again and maybe has it in October, they got to learn in the first month. Like, okay, Bellinger hasn't been what we expect. Thank God for Goldschmidt. Ben Rice has been great. He should be in the lineup every day until Stanton comes back. But, yes, I'm right there with you. There are a lot of holes in this lineup, and now that there are injuries, you're seeing guys that, like, they're not cutting it. It is tough. With Judge in the last few games, he hit a homer in Camden Yards early in the game, his first at-bat, to give us a lead. He did the same thing yesterday, and they lost those games. It's like when Judge gives you that early bump, he kind of spots you those runs. They got to come through.
And I heard him in an interview, and you look what the guy, I mean, obviously, he doesn't give you any shortcuts in the offseason, but he says, you know, last year I had a bad start, so he worked extra hard to get. And imagine what he had a good start last year, what his numbers would have been. We're talking about a 5-year period. There's two players in the game. There's Judge and Ohtani. It's like Jordan and LeBron, whoever you like, whatever case you like.
I'm not even putting Ohtani up there with Judge right now. Until Ohtani comes back to pitch.
The last 5 years, like it's those two and that's it. There's nobody else.
Yeah, face of baseball.
But if you don't mind, I'd like to touch on it. Just a Shedeur Sanders comment. And I'm looking at the NFL, and I'm disappointed in the Jets and the Giants for not taking him in later rounds. And I'm just like, you're trying to figure out what happened. And and logically, you're looking at this guy. I'm watching the corpses of Joe Flacco, and I got to put through the if Aaron Rodgers might play again. And I'm watching Geno Smith get $40 million and Cousins $45 million. And they're a star for quarterbacks. And you have a top flight quarterback in college, and teams are passing on him. And I'm thinking, I'm like, why would they do this? And I'm looking at the owners of the league. This is all most in professional sports. You're dealing with most people with old money. This is people with, you know, billions and billions in over many generations. And I think my gut tells me that race has something to do with this. And my gut also tells me that, when Sanders' father was saying, you know, he's brash, and he was saying, we're not going to go to some teams, and I'm telling them this. It reminds me of the NBA when you have restricted free agencies. I remember years ago when our GM was throwing ridiculous contracts at everybody, and they all matched. And I remember the Miami Heat owner says, you're not going to poach Tyler Johnson. They gave him like $19 million a year, and luckily we didn't poach him, and they kept him, and Alan Crabb on, because these players, when they're not look at it that these are my players and you're not taking them. They're not, even though they're not worth the money. And now you're having the same thing when Sanders, his father's telling teams pre-draft, we're not going there. There's certain teams I'm not letting my son go to. And maybe the son came off a little bit brash, but these owners, I feel they're on the golf course together. This is the big stage. When you own these teams, I think they just got together and said, we're going to show this guy that you're not going to tell us what's what. And I think race has a part of the equation. The father had part of the equation. But how do you pass five rounds of quarter? I mean,
I'll tell you. Thanks for the call, Jack. Of course, race had something to do with it, but it's at such a small percentage and a higher level. I've spoken on this all last week. Like, Cam Ward was the first quarterback taken. He's obviously black. The league is black. Look at how many black players were drafted. It is not a black and white thing like that. It is higher level racism as far as like, okay, what Deion Sanders has been able to do going from the high school ranks to a HBCU. And also, like, that brings a lot of interest from the black community, the black dollar. And I got to be careful how I speak on this, because if you don't just come out and yell racism as a black man that talks sports, they think you're Uncle Tom. They think that you're like, no. I just lay out the facts. I don't care if it's Tim Anderson versus Josh Donaldson we're talking about, or Brian Flores versus the NFL. It isn't all just the race card. You can't just say it's racism, because there are black GMs. Andrew Berry, the GM of the Browns, is black. But like, for Shedeur Sanders to fall to the Browns in the fifth round after they already took Dylan Gabriel, it is compounded. There are a lot of things. Race at a higher level as far as Deion being an amateur coach and his son being an amateur player and them misplaying their hand, talking as if he was an Eli Manning level talent coming into the league. He's not. He was never a five-star recruit. The kid was going to go to Florida Atlantic. He wasn't going to Bama. He wasn't going to USC. He wasn't going to Georgia. That's why Deion got involved. and said, okay, you know what? What college out there is going to take me from the high school ranks to their level? Who's going to allow me to make that jump? A struggling Jackson State University that needed the Deion Sanders injection in the transfer portal NIL era. This is, like, I could talk about this for 10 hours because I am into all of this, and I played college football, and I know this type of stuff, and I am black. Follow me. Deion was only able to do what he was able to do because he's Deion, and also bring his son with him. Is Shador a good player? Yes, but he's not fleet of foot. He's not 6'5". He's got a little bit of a hitch and taps the ball, and a little hitch in his throwing motion and taps the ball. On film, he holds the ball too long. That doesn't necessarily translate into the NFL. So for Deion to take his son, who was never a surefire five-star recruit, struggled at Colorado the first year. They blame everything on the offensive line. Had a better year his second year. Not for nothing, he got four wide receivers drafted into the NFL when they watched the film on those kids who was throwing the ball. They acted as if this kid was Jaden Daniels coming into the league, and he's not. If you are trying to get hired, don't tell someone, don't hire me. He told his son to go there and say, if you don't want to change the culture, don't get me. You dared them to do this to you. And it hurts as a black man because I wanted to see them shine. I've watched all the Amazon Prime stuff. I follow all of them online. I wanted to see them have this moment and win. Deion was drafted 5 overall. Shador's dream was to be drafted higher than his dad. They killed their own dream. And if you want to bring it to the Giants, who were rumored to draft him 3rd overall, and then I was live on air when they traded back into the first round, and we thought maybe it was to get Shador, but I knew it wasn't to get Shador because the Saints had passed on him, the Steelers had passed on him, and if you want to break all those teams down, we don't have the time, but I can. Message me. A report came out from Albert Breer this weekend that Shador Sanders was pissed at the Giants during his pre-draft visit because he was called out for not being prepared. So not only are there rumors about him being off-putting and not caring about there are now reports that you were not prepared in your one-on-one interview. If you watched Hard Knocks, you saw how Brian Daboll got out of Jaden Daniels and a Drake May when it comes to that whiteboard. I played quarterback in college. I know what that stuff is like. If you don't know what the defense is supposed to do, your personnel, where guys are supposed to go, you're going to get embarrassed. You're going to get upset. And I think Shador Sanders entered that meeting, right? It said the Giants won. They give players an install, and there are mistakes intentionally put into the install. He didn't catch them and got called on it. He was pissed that they did that to him. That's what they do. They literally had Daniel Jones going against Tyrod Taylor in practice, and they were telling the defense what plays they were running, kind of giving them a wink, wink, nudge, nudge in to see how Daniel Jones would respond to it on the field. If you can't respond to that in the room on the whiteboard, they're not drafting you at 3 overall. They're not drafting you at all. They're going to pass.
But where I push back on that is we saw last year on Hard Knocks, they made Jaden Daniels repeat back the plays to them, right? And he was able to do it. There's no way Jackson Dart was able to do that when he never called plays in college. So how was he able to do that?
We don't know that. We don't know that. We're going off of what Lane Kiffin's style of offense is. We don't know.
And what he told John Gruden. But
we don't know. So I would love to see a behind the scenes of his one-on-one. Supposedly Daboll worked him out and liked that, like, at least in the throwing workout, right, he took the hard coaching. And we don't know. Maybe they didn't plant mistakes in the personnel, in the formations, in the play calls for Jackson Dart in that setting.
That's my point. There's no way that a kid who never had to call a single play in the huddle in college was able to do that better than Shador was.
You can't
was.
Say there's no way. If they gave him a package to learn before the meeting, you learn the package. It's not
That's rocket science now.
Yeah, it's not rocket science now. Like, no matter what, there's 11 guys on the field. No matter what, you're going to have a certain amount of running backs, tight ends, and wide receivers. We got a break. I could do a whole show on this. I could do a 5-hour KM to AM on this. It's getting super frustrating because people don't understand. They walked in. They sat at the poker table. They walked into this draft process thinking that they were going to walk away from the poker table with $40 million, $45 million. They misplayed their hand. This kid didn't work out at the Combine. He didn't work out at the East-West Shrine Bowl. He lost his phone that he gave people to contact. He made so many mistakes because he was so sure of himself, because his dad was so sure of his film, and they were incorrect. And it hurts because they got humbled, man. And it hurts because there are people confused. Oh, look at his jersey sales. Yeah, that doesn't come with you on the field. I'm rooting for Shador to do well. I really am. I want to see him go out there and ball. And I think he's in an opportunity where he could be QB1. He could beat those guys out. But man, so many people have gotten the wrong message from how all of this played out. It's not just racism. It's not just, there's so many levels. They fear him, the threat that he is. He made $6 million as a college kid last year. We never had that. He's got a Gatorade commercial. He's got a Delta Airlines commercial. He's got all of this stuff. You want to go to the pro level? You have to make yourself appealing. And like, this is the last thing I'll say about it before we break. It wasn't the whole NFL. People think the whole NFL is colluding against him, like Colin Kaepernick, a 23-year-old prospect versus a 33-year-old Colin Kaepernick. Hell no. Man, these teams are competing. It's the draft. But that's the thing. They get to choose. Shador Sanders went about this as if he had scholarship offers. He was on recruiting visits, and he could choose. No, you were waiting for somebody to make your dreams come true, and you kind of killed your own dream a little bit with your approach. But that's okay, because you're rich and you're famous already, and you're in the league. Now it's on you to prove who you are and what you are on the field, and that is all that truly matters. I won't give you the number to dial, because my show is going to be over. Gordon Damer's coming up. My name's Keith McPherson. I do the nighttime show here. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Have you here Monday through Friday?
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, I'll probably be at the stadium twice. I think Tuesday, Wednesday, and then room, drive from the stadium down here, do the show. Friday, we got a little bit of an early show. So yeah, looking forward to another good week. I have 4 minutes left and four calls. I don't know if I'm going to get to them. You guys try and be quick so we can get everybody on. Let's go to Steve in Rockland on the fan. Welcome back, Steve.
Hey, Keith. Listen, you know, this
I was going to say some other stuff, but I'm just going to condense it. Regarding Abdul Carter, okay, you know, as Giant fans, people should remember that on draft night when they took Thibodeau and Evan Neal in the first round, they were kind of saying the same thing about that draft that they're saying about this one. This one has a little bit of a different feel to it, but they were saying about the same thing. And everybody was fitting Evan Neal with a gold jacket on draft night, all right, among other things. So I like to take a wait-and-see approach, all right? And I'm wasn't Thibodeau number three also?
I think he might have been five. Thanks for the call, Steve. They were both top picks. Between Evan Neal and Kayvon, they were the picks that the Giants had to make for the need and for the best ranked at the position. Evan Neal, people raved about him. It just didn't pan out. What I'll say is these guys are all supremely confident, but the NFL, when they get in the NFL, it gets really real. You meet the final bosses. You meet the highest level. You're not playing against 18, 19, 20-year-olds anymore. Like, now you're playing against grown-ass men. Ozzy's in Woodridge on the Fan. What's up, Ozzy?
Hey, Keith, I heard your passion, so I wanted to hit you with this, and I had already spoken to Evan and Tiki about it. Coach Prime is the one, in my opinion, that failed his son as a football player. Coach Prime, all he insisted on was running a hurry-up offense with every OC that he had. He insisted on a hurry-up offense. Can Shador read a playbook? Can he understand an offensive install? Can he command the huddle?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah, he can, Ozzy. They brought in Pat Shurmur to run more of a pro-style offense, but some of the knocks on Shador, even Cam Ward made a joke about his completion percentage being so high from screens and checkdowns. But that's the cheat code for any quarterback. Got to complete those screens and checkdowns. Got to complete the easy ones. But if you watch his games or watch his film, he had some throws downfield that, like, that's all him. Evading the rush, being accurate, and he is really accurate. So I'll say this, though. Like, it's not the whole league against Deion. There were only a handful of teams that drafted quarterbacks. Shrink that down. Who was looking for, like, once the first round goes, everybody after that is looking for a backup. Who is looking for the son of a Hall of Famer, high profile, millions of followers? So, like, that's a backup. That's a lot of reason why they passed on Colin Kaepernick. He comes with a media circus. You don't need the backup undermining your quarterback room. Go look up what Cam Newton had to say about Shador and look up what Chris Carter had to say and Damian Harris. There's enough out there about it. That's all I got. I couldn't get to all my calls. Gordon Damer's first show coming your way next. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.